welcome to this week's edition of Community Tides. This is Chris Bricker, and alternate Fridays during the noon hour, I join my co-host Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation, to discuss new developments, new paradigms, and the new normal with members of our community as we roll into the weeks and months ahead. Joining us today is a special group of people who have pooled their resources and talents
in collaboration with the Rhody Festival Committee
into a unique partnership that is keeping the Rhody Festival alive and well here in Port Townsend, and this weekend with a very special twist. Here to introduce themselves and to tell us all about this are some of the movers and planners surrounding this week's events.
I am Paul Magid, also known as Dmitry Karamazov, co-founder of both the Flying Karamazov Brothers and the New Old Time Chautauqua. I am one of the people who are organizing the event for this coming weekend.
I'm Danny Milholland, the director of operations for the Production Alliance and a lifelong Port Townsend resident, and excited to be a part of the Chautauqua Week.
Megan Claflin, co-founder of the Production Alliance and director of development. Excited to bring this new event back to the community.
My name is Amanda Finaro. I am a local community member, CEO of Good Man Sanitation, and I am honored to get to work as our tribal liaison and help usher in our community Congress conversation.
Hi, Ben Thomas, Port Townsend City Council, and also former Chautauquan, or lifelong Chautauquan, I'll say, and happy to be part of this from my angle.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kristen Crowley. I am a clown and part of the New Old Time Chautauqua. Been one of the newer people. I've only been here for a decade, so I'm not a 40-year member, but looking forward to being with everyone.
Thank you. I'm so excited to welcome you all today and look forward to all the fun we're going to have this week together. Paul, I was wondering if you could start out by telling us, what is a Chautauqua and what's its historical significance here in Port Townsend?
Chautauquas began in 1874 and was an experiment in mixing education and entertainment. And it exploded onto the American scene. And there were, at one point in the 1920s, 40 million Americans and Canadians were attending Chautauquas all over the country, which is about half the population. And they were super important in the suffragette movement. They're also important in getting Native Americans the right to vote. They had all kinds of opinions. If you were a politician, you had to be on Chautauqua. The Chautauquas came to Port Townsend for many years, like they were everywhere else in the country. An event that everybody stopped everything they were doing. Fishermen would stop what they were doing. The people who were working at the government buildings would stop what they were doing. And for a whole week, Chautauqua would be in Port Townsend in a big tent with about 1,500 people in it. It cost $2.50 for the whole week. We're only charging 10 times that much right now. Or is it 100 times? 100 times. It was a singularly incredible event that really changed this country. And we are the New Old Time Chautauqua, the last traveling Chautauqua. There used to be 1,000 traveling Chautauquas in the United States and Canada. And now it's down to one, and that's us. We started in 1981, so we've been on the road for 41 years, minus the 2 years of COVID, of course, and traveling all through the greater Northwest, working in rural communities and in tribal nations all through Washington, Oregon, Montana, Idaho, British Columbia, Alaska, and Alberta.
So we have the new old-time Chautauqua, and we have Daniel Milholland, who is one of the movers and shakers behind the Production Alliance here in Port Townsend. Danny, how did this all happen? How did this marriage between the new old-time Chautauqua and the Production Alliance, how did Rhody Week happen this year?
That's a great question. Our team has been involved in the Rhododendron Festival for the past 10 years as we brought forward the Cake Picnic. This will be our 10th year anniversary for the Cake Picnic. So we've been collaborating with the Rhody Fest Association for the past 10 years. We also produce numerous community celebrations and events, mainly annual traditions here in Jefferson County that we are kind of creating and stewarding. And a few years ago, Paul and I and a group of us teamed up together to do a trip out to Standing Rock. And that was kind of our first significant collaboration with kind of teams of collaborators, and we, you know, helped to kind of send this big caravan off to Standing Rock when things were really going down out there. So we had a chance to kind of do a deep dive into collaboration with each other. Additionally, when I was just out of high school, I did travel with the Chautauqua. I've been a part of Chautauqua events for many years in different capacities. Ben and I have kind of met on that first year that I went on Chautauqua. So there's been kind of, you know, threads of connection and collaboration for a long time. Paul and Kristen brought forward this 40th year anniversary of the New Old Time Chautauqua and wanted to collaborate with the Production Alliance. We were looking at Memorial Day weekend, and that wasn't going to quite work for everybody for a variety of reasons. And we decided, you know, what would it look like to kind of integrate the Chautauqua 40th anniversary with the Rhododendron Festival, which is kind of reviving itself this year after a couple years of COVID, where it's kind of gone semi-dormant. And so we brought this idea to the Rhodie Fest Association, and they were really thrilled with the idea. And so we kind of integrated our visions and you know, series of events with the Rhodie schedule, so it's not to conflict, but actually to kind of integrate. This year's Rhodie Fest is also missing the carnival, so our big circus show on Saturday night, it's nothing like a carnival, but it's, you know, brings a very family community, you know, celebratory vibe. And so it's kind of this, you know, multi-layered collaboration that's just grown relatively organically over the past several months, and lots of spin-off events and projects. We're doing the lottery and, you know, the Congress. There's a lot of new territory that we're charting with all of this, and it's pretty exciting. So that's the basic rundown.
Kristen Crowley, why is it so significant to the New Old Time Chautauqua?
The Chautauqua has, throughout its history, always been working idealistically towards change and play and involvement and engagement and learning and growth. This is a pivotal time for us in our history as we look at things falling apart. How do we come together? For the New Old Time Chautauqua, we're now a third generation emerging into our community and finding ways to bring people together and reconnect and reengage is important. 40 years is a long time to be together. So this group has grown up together. They've grown up in this community and have been supported by this community and have a long history of doing all those kinds of things.
A number of you have mentioned the integral role of tribes and Indigenous people in Chautauquas over the years. Amanda, you're the liaison to the local tribes for the Chautauqua. Tell us about that relationship and about the Community Congress. What's going to happen this week?
The culminating event on Sunday evening, starting at 5 p.m. out at McCurdy Pavilion at Fort Borden. And what we've done is we've invited all of our regional tribal elders, leaders, communities to come and participate in this Chautauqua week with us. And the culmination of the Congress is really to be thought of more as a public community conversation. And really that conversation for the first hour will be framed and held by our local tribal leaders coming together to talk about what they're facing in this moment. I think so often throughout American history in general, Indigenous perspectives are not centered by Indigenous people. And so in this time of reckoning, we've all kind of come through the last couple of years as a collective body looking at issues around our environment and issues around equity and how we face economic development in a changing ecological world. I think all of those things that intersect really impact our tribal communities in a real grassroots kind of way, and that there's a lot of opportunity for collaboration. There's potential for our community to learn from our neighbors who were the original people of this place we all call home. And I think there's also the space where we can have conversations that help center those Indigenous perspectives in today's time. So often, I think people mistakenly have been educated to think of Indigenous people and tribes as something that's just in a historic context. But our tribal nations surrounding us, they're alive and well today, and they are thriving communities. And I think that there's a lot of opportunity for us to be good neighbors. And The other piece of the Congress will be a conversation with our local community as a whole. There's going to be an experiment in well-designed, playful chaos around this, where some of these topics can be kind of heavy. We want there to be space for our local elected officials to receive some feedback from the community at large, and then maybe have a culminating moment of reflection. It's all an experiment. It's kind of our first time doing this. So Paul and I've had some long conversation about the hope that this is something that will grow year over year.
Paul, there's some historical significance about the Rhodey Parade this year, isn't there?
Yeah, Danny and Megan, I think, went to a meeting with the Rhodey organizers a couple weeks ago, and the color guard that we're getting from some of the veteran color guard, I should say, that we're getting from some of the nations in our area will be front of the parade with the other color guard, which is a first, a real visible, tangible, visceral change that people will be able to actually see and experience how we are working now in a much more community-oriented way. All the different and diverse communities that we have on the Olympic Peninsula working as a group of people together, as Homo sapiens, as they should be.
Amen to that. Well, Megan, the planning process, how has this evolved? I remember one of the very first meetings, it was just a handful of people sitting around the table at Aldridge's upstairs. How has the journey been?
The journey is as much fun as the weekend of events will be. We have brought together, you know, our two organizations, the New Old Time Chautauqua and the Production Alliance, whose missions align perfectly for this type of work. Besides bringing wonderful entertainment to the community, we are also very focused together on building community through celebration and intentionally bringing that gathering together so that we can build relationships with one another and deepen our sense of community. We're very fortunate to bring Ben Thomas and Amanda Fenaro on as well to be stewards of our community Congress. It is more than just a weekend of arts and performances. It is a weekend of intentional community building and intentional relationship building. That is an organic process. It is a living, breathing organism in and all of itself. And as Amanda alluded to, it is unpredictable. And so there is a sense of creative chaos to the process of planning and designing the weekend's events, and really a strong effort to raise up a sense of inclusivity as we build diversity into the event, as we build equity in the voices being lifted up in the event. The Production Alliance was approached early in 2022 about taking a more significant role in the Rhododendron Festival. We were very happy to see the American Legion step in and step up and take the torch and be at the helm of the Rhodey Festival. And in coordinating with them, and as Danny said, without the carnival, we are kind of the perfect conclusion, culmination to our homegrown homecoming festival, which is Rhodey, and rolling into our Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of events. I would encourage anyone who's listening to take a moment to visit our website or our Facebook page, or reach out to the New Old Time Chautauqua or the Production Alliance. It is a beautiful, robust, vibrant, and eclectic menu of activities and opportunities to engage over this weekend. And to pass for the weekend gets you involved in all of it. And I wouldn't miss a thing. I think you're going to want to be here with us all 3 days.
I'm looking forward to it. I already have my ticket. Ben Thomas, I wanted to hear from you. You're a former Chautauquan and also have a new political role as liaison to city and state governments. What do you see the opportunity of this weekend to be?
We've seen a lot of resetting with COVID, and a lot of it's been for the negative, I would say, in our society. But I do see an opportunity to at least bring some things together that weren't together before. As the others have said, this is a really neat marriage of big marching band Americana, of the Rhodey parade and festival, mixed with, you know, the bohemian spirit of Chautauqua, which is also bringing in the First Nations and Native American wisdom you know, putting that all together is I've not seen before. That's really pretty exciting. And I think we have a lot to learn from that spirit of Chautauqua. I've learned a lot myself that I think actually I use in my role in city government. I learned a lot about having to work on cooperation with volatile and creative people. Learn how to listen much better, you know, much more about resourcefulness, you know, on a small budget, and appreciation for the wabi-sabi and structured chaos that can happen. I think we have to deal with it. This is life, you know, but Chautauqua kind of is like the real concentrated version of that. It's pretty inspiring to be around.
The presence of the indigenous community and then also representatives from our state are significant this time around. And it does go back to the days of the old Chautauqua, you know, with the community congress and the rest of it. Maybe in closing, Paul, you could tell us, how do we find out more about Chautauqua Weekend, its schedule? Oh, there's a lottery, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, let me just say, go to chautauquaweek.org. That's chautauquaweek.org, all one word. That's A-U-A-U-U-A. And you'll find out the lottery is going to be just fantastic. It was, I think, a sort of an idea of Kristen and Danny's dad, Doug Milholland. And basically, it's an everybody wins lottery, and you can win maybe a concert ticket, or you can win spending 2 hours pulling weeds at the elementary school. It's both civic duties and fun things, or fun things while doing a civic duty. You just don't know what you're going to get. And between 4 and 5 o'clock on Sunday, just before the community congress, if you are not incredibly happy with cleaning, you know, somebody's porch or whatever it is you've won, you can go to the Littlefield Green, which is where a win and swap is going to be, where anything you've won, you can swap it if you can convince somebody else to swap it with you. So that should be actually a really fun community event, I think.
Can't beat that. For anybody interested in the schedule for the remaining part of Roadie Week, you can go to the website.
Chris, I just want to add that there will be dozens of workshops, all kinds of things for adults and children. And even during the Congress, there is a junior Chautauqua happening. All of those will also be available on Sunday afternoon between 2 and 4.
Everything from folding a fitted bed sheet to learning how to juggle and everything in between.
And there's also a bunch of Indigenous workshops that are being given. It will be a full event. I mean, I think if you come to all 3 days, you are going to be full of fun energy by the end of it, and also maybe deeply filled, like a well.
So tonight we kick off Chautauqua Week at Fort Worden on the Littlefield Green with a community picnic, the registration for the weekend, a performance by the Unexpected Brass Band, and an airing of PT Shorts, which is a compilation of short films by local filmmakers. We are all over the place on Saturday. We will be in the Roadie Fest Grand Parade beginning at 1 p.m. We'll march on down to the 10th annual Cake Picnic in Pope Marine Park, kicking off about 3 p.m. And then we'll head back out to Fort Worden to the McCurdy Pavilion for the big show, with a whole wonderful evening of circus and vaudeville style entertainment. We wrap the weekend up at the Littlefield Green at Fort Worden on Sunday with a wide variety of workshops from 2 to 4 p.m., the PT Lottery from 4 to 5, and then our Community Congress, which is a coming together of our tribal leaders, our local politicians and state politicians, and community members in an intentional conversation about what our community looks like now and in the future.
And if you're unable to find the information for Chautauqua Week, because it's a tricky spelling, just like the tricky jugglers performance, go ahead and look at the KPTZ website. There's a link there at kptz.org.
I just want to thank all of you for the hard work you've put into this. I mean, I can think of no time in our recent history where we've needed a Chautauqua more than right now. So thank you for everything that you've put into bringing us together this weekend. And I look forward to seeing as many of our listeners out there as possible. I think it's going to be a really special time. Thank you.
Danny Milholland, Paul McGeed, Megan Cleflin, Kristen Crowley, Amanda Funaro, and Ben Thomas. Thank you so much for joining us on this week's Community Tides.